center. Step back. Throws a fade. Back shoulder. Cooper Kupp got it. Cooper Kupp brings it in.
Evening, DFS NFL fans. Welcome back to another episode of Touchdowns for Doe. And surprise, surprise, Mark, or should I call him Marco, is over in Italy once again. Left us again, Jack.
Well, I'm doing the old. he has left us again, Nick. But he's going to be missed tonight. But he'll be back next week. He'll be back in the hot seat next week. But we got a good replacement in for him tonight, anyway.
Yeah, we have. And he's already given us a bit of an inkling of some of the stuff he wants to talk about when he gets back. So that'll be interesting, and hopefully another interesting guest on next week as well, Jack. I know you've got someone lined up there. But as Mark is over in Italy eating his pasticotto or pasticciotto, whatever he called it, we didn't want to just go ahead with the two of us because the guests have been working so well the past few weeks. So, welcome in Sir David Bailey. Not a household name in the DFS community. However, those who are familiar with his work know he's having a very good season across sports, not even just the NFL, which we talk about on this show. Smashing it in the football or the soccer for any Americans out there. And cash is in multiple things, EuroLeague as well in that. But NFL is where you've had your biggest wins. David, welcome to...
Yes.
He's already told me his internet is a bit dodgy, so that's a good start there.
Did I cut out? I'm guessing I did.
You did cut out, yeah, you did. This is going to be fun because we've got Jack looking like a pixel man and we've got you cut out at random on AOL dial-up. So this is going to be a fun one of me just talking to myself for 40 minutes.
Brilliant. Yeah, I apologise in advance if I cut out quite a bit.
David, welcome, like I said. You have had a great season, DFS-wise. You've had what none of us have really had, which has been a legitimate millie sweat. Yes. And when I say legitimate, I don't mean well in the cash. I mean, there was a point where you could have been doing naked laps around the estate.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in week five, I think it was now. Sitting there, 11 o'clock at night, sitting 22nd in the Millie Maker, 7 points off top. Completely freaking out, not knowing what to do with myself. My daughter was asleep in her room. She was down for the week as well, and I was like trying to keep my calm, texting you on the WhatsApp group. Only you was awake, I think, Nick, at the time. Jack had a heavy night.
A skimful.
Went into the late slate with three or four players left to play. Jamar Chase, Tyler Conklin, Breece Hall, yeah. And it was, I think if Conklin had got a touchdown or two, then I may have taken down the millie. But yeah, finished 33rd in the end.
Conklin's the one, yes, that did really, isn't he? Because I was up with you and I think I had Chase or Hall and I did well that week. But like Conklin's the one that did you because he was really low owned, wasn't he? So that's the one
I've actually got it on me. He was only 4% owned. So had he got a touchdown, I think he was close as well. I think he was stopped about 4 or 5 yards from the touch from the red end zone even. I think they ended up having a field goal in the end. But yeah, It was a close one, that's for sure. And I'm not going to complain at finishing 33rd. But yeah, it was definitely a sweat on. And I know how Jack's felt in the past when he's done well on a few, especially a soccer one, or football, shall we say. And his EuroLeague takedown that he had live on air.
So Nick, you done me a disservice there, because I've actually had a midi sweat before as well, but not in the NFL. Mine was in golf, and I was sitting 17. You know about it. I was sitting 17th on the Saturday evening at the Open Championship, and unfortunately, Rory McIlroy and Victor Hovland crapped the bed on a Sunday, which pushed me down. But I won a similar amount to what David won in his mini maker there. But it's some sweat, I tell you. It's a sweat that. I don't think you enjoy that sweat either.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Like you said, David, you don't know what to do with yourself, do you? I mean, NFL, I mean, you know, that's a few hours in that evening slate. But, I mean, golf, like, when I had it, it's the whole day. Like, you just do not know what to do with yourself. It's a nice feeling, but at the same time, it's the worst feeling in the world. Like, you just is, it's a hard one to describe. But like you say, you can't complain when you finish 33rd and take home some decent profit.
Yeah, what I meant, Jack, was the NFL millie sweat. I know you had your golf sweat last year. Yeah, you're quite right with that. Should have done that better. That's my fault.
sorry, I'll just pull you up on it. So.
Yeah, just slate me on show. In terms of, because it's you've cashed quite consistently this year, David. That millie sweat is just like part of it. Granted, a big part, and you know it's out there on Twitter and stuff. But you've done pretty well week on week. What are some of the kind of things that you've done, either things that you might have changed this year, things that you might considered that you maybe haven't done in previous years? Like, what's led to some of those kind of successes that you've had?
So I think last year I was kind of just entering lineups left, right and center, many single entries, trying to hit the big bucks, I suppose, all the time, every weekend, and had such massive player pools that I felt like I had to play every player in my player pool. And last year, I just lost so much money trying to chase the big one. Whereas this year, week one, obviously, I think all of us had so many mini tickets. Week one was just a complete, like, shambles across the board. But then from week two onwards, and a bit of advice Jack gave was in terms of playing double ups and using those double ups to kind of cover some of the GPP plays that I wanted to do and some of the fun bits that I... As a bit of a gambler, I do like to still try and win the big one. So I play double ups to kind of cover my entry fees and a little bit of profit, and then use the kind of the rest to play some GPPs, whether that be single entries. They do the early session and the afternoon slates. I do a bit of super flex. I do the tiers, but nothing like major entries, like $5 entries. Single dollars, and then obviously all the free stuff from you've obviously got Nat Coombs' plays, and then you've obviously got the Ashes tournament, and then kind of just definitely decreased my player pool. Not necessarily decreased the content that I've taken in. I've probably still look and watch the same sort of content, but there's a couple of obviously guys on Twitter or the X. Not necessarily UK guys, I suppose. It's more some of the American guys. I know we've spoken in the WhatsApp about Detroit Beastie. Always have a kind of look to see what he's up to and what he's kind of, who he's putting forward. And then obviously, from a cash point of view, the Run the Sims guys, I think they normally do a tweet Saturday night, Sunday morning, of projected ownership and stuff like that. And I've just been using those for cash. And I think from a cash point of view, I think that's hit 7 out of 9 weeks. And then obviously that's helped me be profitable 7 out of the 9 weeks so far.
But one of you mentioned there about contest selection, and this was one of the things that we've been saying that we're going to talk about for a few weeks, and something that we are going to talk about tonight, because I think, like, your prime example with what you've done this year of how important contest selection is, because there's a lot that you see where, like, you see a lot of, you go onto the lobby on DraftKings, and if you don't know what you're looking at, it's an absolute minefield. And I think there's probably not enough education out there in terms of how do you play, right? So what contest is right for you to enter? Like you said, you know, it's nice entering the, you know, the Millie contests and the big money contests and stuff like that. But if you're only going to put one entry in and you're building that line up a certain way, either you're not going to set yourself up to cash, or you're not going to be unique enough, or you're simply going to be up against the odds, because if you're not entering the right contest, it could be, you know, there could be max enter of 20, it could be 150. So I think entering the right kind of contests are what is important. But like you've done, every week you've kind of been covering your bases. There's only been, like you said, 2 out of those 9 weeks where the cash lineup hasn't worked. But along the way, you've been kind of building that bankroll up. That's something that I've done this year. Started off the year, I think, in the NFL, because I did withdraw at the end of the PGA season. Started off actually depositing back in and kind of thinking, right, let's see where this goes. And I've withdrawn from DraftKings about 4 times this year, and I've got like a nice healthy balance in now. I could withdraw again, but I'm just keeping it in there because it's just building. If I need it, I'll take it out. Jack, your thoughts on contest selection?
I mean, David's mentioned about the double ups there. I've been beating that drum since September 2022, I think, now, with our golf stuff. And I've been doing it for golf. Like I say, if I play 2 GPPs lineups at the value of, I don't know, let's say $20, then I'll rent 2 double-up lineups, 2 $10 double-up lineups, contest, sorry. So basically, like David says, you're just covering your money. You're covering all bases. You get your money back at the end of the week, whatever happens. If the GPP hits as well, you're laughing. Double ups are king. It's like 49% of the field gets paid out. It's not, you know, it's not like GPPs and things like that. And, you know, I think people get confused, and I think they class single entry contests, so to speak, the same as cash. Like, I think they think they're like cash contests, which they're really not. Like, single entry stuff, like, there's a lot of that out there, and there's, I don't know, what, 18 to 20% of the field gets paid out, something like that. It's not, you know, you've got to finish inside that top 18 to 20% to get paid out on it. I don't think they're particularly a healthy way to build a bankroll. I think the best way to build a bankroll is by playing the double ups, and I've always preached that. I'm the same as David, and he's probably learned that off me, to be honest. I play double ups and I play GPPs, and like David said, I go after the big one, because who doesn't want to win the big one? You know, everyone sees that million dollars up there. David's had the sweat, I've had the sweat. Nick, you know, you've taken down GPPs. You know what it's like. It's you know, it's a fun ride when you're up there. You know, $1 million is life-changing money at the end of the day for anyone. So we all chase after those, but I do sort of, I keep within my limits of GPPs. Another thing I wanted to bring up, actually, like last week, I put in our WhatsApp group, but I didn't like the slate, and I think we was all in agreement with it. So I scaled back. I just scaled back on all my outlay on it. I'll be fully transparent. Lost everything last week. Absolutely awful week. Quite happy to be transparent about that. But I recognised that I didn't like the slate as such. so I scaled back before I entered stuff, and that was it. I played one mini line up like I do every week because I try and win that. I played one $25 double up. I played all the Nat Coombe stuff, the Ashes. That's all. Most of that's free. And then I just entered the $3 free max at $9. So I just thought I'd just have a little play around in there this week. I just wanted to see what would happen. I lost it all last week. It was a bad week. But I knew I wasn't into that slate going into it. And, you know, I was proven right. I think that's key. For me, double ups are the best way to build a bankroll and the only way to build a solid bankroll.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, there's nothing wrong with entering single entry GPPs, and, you know, even if multi, like I might multi enter, but my max multi enter normally is like I won't go above three. Like that's my kind of max. I don't want to sit there and build 20 lineups, and I also don't really just want to put that in the hands of an optimizer to decide my fate. Like, yes, yeah, you can tell an optimizer what plays you like. You can tell you can kind of fiddle with the settings a little bit, so it gives you the kind of lineups that you might want to build. But at the end of the day, it's still software that's building that lineup. I like hand building my lineups because I like having a little play around, tweaking them. Can I save a little bit there? Can I increase a little bit there? Is the money on the table? I'm happy with there being money on the table. Like, I like the human thought that goes into that rather than a computer just saying, these are the projections, these are the things you like, these are the settings you want. So here's your lineup. Like, I know it works for some people, and it obviously works because people use them, but don't just, like, you know, this is another kind of going back to kind of like where you get your edge and stuff like that. You know, don't just go and use an optimizer for the sake of it. Don't go and pay for an optimizer for the sake of it either.
That's a really good point. There's so many things with optimizers. People, you have to, Mark said this many times, you have to understand how to use them. There's no point in just buying one. There's so many settings that you can change on it. I use an optimizer. Everyone knows that. I'm mucking around with a few things tonight on soccer, for example. I've told you guys, but I'm mucking around in stupid double up contests, like just trying to see what will work and what won't work. I'm going to be doing it for NHL tonight. I haven't told you guys this, but this, again, with NHL, there's so many rules. You can have like so many skaters going against your goalie. To be honest, you only want one skater going against your goalie if you're playing the NHL. You don't want anything more than that. It's crazy. So I'm going to muck around with that tonight. But yeah, you're dead right. Unless you understand, like, it's all very well going out there and buying one of these optimizers, but unless you understand how to use it, you're going to lose more than you win. Put it that way.
Yeah, and I think, like, and this is advice I would give to anyone as well, is just, like, if you're going to pay for that kind of content, and this has been said a lot of times before, but realistically, the minimum that you're going to be paying for something like that is, in our money, 20, 30 quid potentially for a decent one. And that's kind of like your very kind of low level basic ones. Yes, there's probably free ones out there, but again, like, get different yourself. I know Mark has built basically over years. He's kind of like got spreadsheets and stuff where he might put things in, and he kind of has his own. You know, don't just go and use one for the sake of it and that's your lineup. Like, try and get different with your lineup. Actually put thought into it yourself. I don't even mind, like, that kind of, you know, if you want to mix projection with game theory, that's absolutely fine as well. But this is where I think, like, you know, Mark always says it, there's no point actually paying for stuff like that if A, you don't know how to use it, B, you might as well just use that money into other lineups. You might as well just actually put it into your DFS.
And that there is, if you're a crap player, optimizers just allow you to make more crap lineups quicker. He's 100%. As I said, if you don't understand how to use it, then you're going to lose a lot more than you win. And we've lost David. His internet's dropped. Oh, he's back.
He's still here. He's just having a little mess around backstage.
Just having a little mess around backstage. But just in regards to contest selection, to build a solid bankroll, play double ups, best way to do it. In regards to building a team within double ups, I personally still stack, not as heavy as I would in a GPP. Many people know when I play GPPs, I go on a full game onslaught. It's a QB, a running back, a tight end on the same team, and then two wide receivers from the other side. That's just how I play GPPs. Within cash, I would probably just, let's just use the Bengals as an example. I would have Joe Burrow as my QB, and I'd have Jamar Chase in the same lineup. That would be it. That would be the extent of the stack. It wouldn't be a massive onslaught game stack. You don't need to do that in cash. And you can play all of these chalky, highly owned, highly projected owned players, you know, in GP, in double ups, in cash. That's, you know, that's what you should be doing. You should just be following the field without, if Alvin Kamara is going to be 50% owned, then you should be jumping on that as well, I think, within double up cash games. I think we had a slate the other week, didn't we, with Raheem Mostert, and he was 50% owned or something like that in double ups. He ended up nuking the slate, so he would have been fine in GPPs anyway. So, you know, it's like we always say, there's no good or bad chalk.
Yeah, absolutely. Only chalk, no good or bad. certainly not till after the result of the game, when you know what's actually happened. Then you can reflect on it and give an opinion, I feel. But before then, it's just chalk.
I just think people need to be very careful that they don't think that single entry contests are a good way to build a bankroll, because they're really not.
I agree. I think if you've got the bankroll, then playing those kind of contests, yeah, absolutely fine, because that's where you're going to maximize your profit. But as you said, for a bankroll builder, you should be playing cash.
Yeah, you should be. No, most definitely. And yeah, like I say, I think this goes down to process. And I think the process that I've got across all sports, I play exactly the same as I do in golf now. I enter so many GPP lineups, so many double up lineups, and then Mark's in the background there. And then the idea is the double ups always get me back to what my outlay was, regardless. And if the GPP hits, sorry, as well, then we're going to have a very good week. And I swear by that philosophy. I think it's a very good way of playing. I remember saying last year with golf, I didn't lose on them double ups for months in golf. Like, we was getting 4 out of 6 in the cuts. And I think the first time I lost is because the cut mark changed with the last frigging golfer out there. And that was the first time I lost in double ups. They are the best way. I can't preach it. They're the best way to build a bankroll.
I agree. And doing that process this season for the NFL, you have to find the right information as well in terms of ownership and stuff. So, for example, Douglas from the Patriots was 80% owned in most double ups last week.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether he hits or not, because most of the
80%
field,
of the field
him,
so, yeah, 80% of the yeah. field have got him.
So, yeah, it's definitely been very helpful for me, and obviously I play it so that I have enough cash lineups to pay for the GPP and maybe give me a little bit of profit at the end. And obviously, depending on bankroll, you can enter from even a dollar double up to I think the biggest I've seen is 50, but yeah.
Oh, they do bigger
whatever
ones.
Suits your bankroll to start that process.
Yeah. No, they do bigger ones. But yeah, like you say, just again, that's you need to know your limits. If you can only afford to play with $10 a week, maybe enter a $5 double up, and then maybe enter a $5 single entry contest. There you go. You can play it like that. And that's that's the best way to describe it. As long as you build like a decent enough lineup within the double up, 49% of the field are going to win anyway. you're going to get your outlay back, whatever happens. And if the GPP hits, let's say you finish in the top 10, you might win like $100 or something in a single entry contest. I don't know. It depends what single entry contest you enter. But yeah, just, you know, I that's the way I've gone about it for since September 2022. And I'm the same as you, Nick. I've withdrawn, especially for this NFL season, more times than I can remember this year.
Yeah. I know how you play, Jack, and if your NFL is anything like your golf, quite a small player pool, which I also play with, because what I found myself doing last season was putting in multiple lineups, different players, and having quite a big pool and feeling like I had to cover so many bases and get into the end of the weekend and having some good plays, but just in the wrong lineups or the wrong combination of plays. And I got to a point where I was like, do you know what? Like, I actually need to somewhat hold myself accountable here with how I'm building these lineups. Like, I'm not, A, the lineups weren't being built correctly, but also B, just maybe putting too much on the table, trying to cover too many bases, and actually just kind of planting your flag in certain players and saying, do you know what? I'm going to play him this week and I'm not going to enter a massive amount of GPP lineups, for example. I'm going to play a couple of GPPs. That's my guy. I'm going to plant my flag. Live and die by the sword, basically. If it comes off, great. If it doesn't, do you know what? Accountability is on me. That was my guy this week. It hasn't worked. And that's like, that's one of the things where I feel like I get to the end of the weekend now. And like this past week, Jack, I'll be transparent as well. We've done victory laps this season. This week was absolutely no lap from me, because I got to the end of the weekend and I've like, do you know what? I haven't won anything there. I was almost in with a shot. The money ticker was going down and down and down. The more, the kind of deeper into the night of the 9 p.m. games we got, I was just watching it come down and down and down. And I'm just like, well, do you know what? Write it off. But 2 days before, I had a nice little win on the Euro League. So I didn't really care come the end of it. And even if I'd not have had that, I still wouldn't have cared, because do you know what? The guys that I picked just didn't pan out last week. But at least I know they didn't pan out, and that was kind of like what I'd hung my hat on, rather than having loads of different lineups with loads of different combinations of players, some hitting, some not, but just putting them all in the wrong lineups, like not matching them together. So I really kind of limit down the player pool. And
now correlation is key as well. Like, if you get the right stack in NFL, you're gonna cash that week pretty much. Like I can't, what was it, 2 weeks ago I had the Bengals stack and the 49ers stack that went, that nuked, and I had the Washington stack with I had the Eagles stack when they played Washington, sorry. So both them lineups that I built, the stacks bang on. Everything around it, the one-offs that I was using here and there just flopped, just didn't do anything. But my lineup's got like 188 points. I mean, you're going to cash in whatever contest you're in if you're scoring that. And that was from the stacks. So the stack is key in NFL. If you get the stacks correct, then you're going to cash. But like you say, Nick, it's the correlation pieces around it. I don't go out looking for it, but if I can, I like to stack a running back with a defense. I also like to have a secondary stack it within my main stack in there. So I like to build my lineups like that. Not everyone wants to do that. I don't know. David, do you have any other thoughts on how you go about your builds? And
I always have a look at the betting trends on some of the games as well.
Yeah.
So if they're trending to be high scoring, I then have a look into possibly why would that be? What are the games between those teams been like before? So even I think Philadelphia Dallas was due to be the highest point scoring game this last weekend from a betting point of view. And then obviously looking back, obviously they play each other twice a year, every year, and then seeing some of that, are they generally high scoring games or not? And then, yeah, just obviously checking, you know, Philadelphia being awful against wide receivers this season, despite being such a great team. Pains me to say it as a Giants fan, but yeah, so that those sort of things I look at as well. And then, yeah, it's a bit like yourself, both of you really have a stack. I know, Jack, you've got a rule if Miami and Bengals are on the slate, you stack them regardless, pretty much. And funny enough, it was the Miami stack that gave me the Millie sweat back in week five. So, yeah, there are those teams that you kind of go to. I think Detroit have been pretty decent this year for those sort of things. So, it's again, having those teams that are high scoring regardless, really, and just whether they fit what you want to do, your process, your player pool. And, yeah, we all know the teams that generally aren't going to score many points. So,
yeah. You're right as well, like the content that you've mentioned earlier, that I think it's important for people to find the content that they enjoy. I consume so much content, and that's just because of my job. I got my headphones in now. My headphones are in my bloody ears 90% of the day. I just consume so much content. But I'm always, I have a rule with DFS, and you can never stop learning. It's just a game that, you know, I'm mucking around with stuff tonight, like I've told you guys, with soccer, and like I've never done that before in my life, and tonight I'm mucking around with it. It's just you can never stop learning, and the moment you stop learning in DFS is the moment that you will fail.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree. I think there's a lot of different ways we could take this as well, because I know that we've spoke this week a little bit on some, you know, like bias and how that can sometimes have an impact in who you pick and how you build your lineups. And I think there's a lot of discussion that we can have around projections, game theory, content. But I think we will save that for another week, because Mark is a big game guy, or he certainly was. I think he still is. So it'd be good to get his input on that as well.
But bias is one of the worst things you can have as a DFS player. You should never ever have bias within how you build. If that's bias towards your favorite teams, or bias against a player that let you down the week before. Let's say this is a bad example, but let's say it's Bijan Robinson. I'm getting the ump because Arthur Smith is doing all this funky stuff that he does. But then Bijan has got a match up against the Panthers, who have given up 14 touchdowns to running backs this season. You know, your recency bias could stop you getting onto Bijan that week, and he could nuke the slate. He could score 3 touchdowns. I don't know, get like 70 yards, but score 3 touchdowns. It's the worst thing as a DFS player you can have, but I'm going to save it for more for Mark, because I know he really wants to talk about it.
And just on that as well, Jack, like different kinds of bias, you know, like bias in general could just be, you know, if I was picking Cooper Kupp every week based on how things are situation-wise at the Rams at the moment, though I would still expect him to have some productive weeks, that would be a bias pick. That would be me picking with my heart, essentially, because that's who I want to do well. Not picking with my head, which is how you should play DFS. There should be a little bit of gut in there, but it should be played with your mind. But the recency bias stuff, this past weekend's a prime example of recency bias, because straight after the weekend, on the chat, straight away I was like, I'm never playing the Saints again. You know what, I'll play Alvin Kamara. Do you know what, I'll play Olave, but I'm never playing Derek Carr again. I'm certainly never playing Taysom Hill and all that stuff. Said in jest, said in anger. Now, I'm not going to be in any kind of urgency to play Derek Carr in a lineup. But last week, playing Derek Carr in a lineup made a lot of sense.
Going he, he, in- was, He was generally fine as well last week. He didn't I think we wanted more. He was generally fine. Yeah. He got to kind of where he needed to get to. But
he was around value, maybe just under.
Yeah.
But what I think is what was disappointing with him and what harms him is the way that they used Taysom Hill in that offense. It sometimes kind of limits where his ceiling could be. And I know he's not got a really high ceiling, Derek Carr, but it is somewhat of a limitation on him. But the worst thing I could do is actually go through with that, what I said after the weekend, and never play that stack ever again, because there could come a time where that stack is absolutely the play.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can think is, I've been burned by them before. We've done it with golfers before, Jack. But then we've quite rightly said, I'm not playing him because he's burned me. But he still find a way into the lineup because there's a reason why you're playing them, whether that be stats, whether it be course fit. And it's exactly the same in the NFL.
Yeah. There'll
come a point in time again where you need to forget that there was that burned your lineup and you didn't cash in week four. Like, if it's right for that week and it's the right situation, the right circumstance, the defense is giving up X, Y, Z to wide receivers and quarterbacks and whatever else, and you think it's the right play and you don't like the slate, you don't like some of the other players, then don't let that recency bias cloud your mind on that.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Like I say, I think we'll save it for Mark when he gets back because I know he really wants to talk about it, but I think it's the worst thing you can do as a DFS player.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So we have another community winner this past week in the Fantasy Game Day. I didn't cash. I was just outside the cash, Jack. I know you were in the cash, but I don't know if you drifted out or you stayed just...
Yeah, no, I mean, I was in the top three for a while and then I woke up in the morning, I went to bed early. It was just a bad slate of football. Like, all the games were terrible. The best game was the Germany game, so I saw that in the afternoon. I just went to bed early in the end. I was just like, this is a bad slate. All these games are terrible. They decided to put the Giants on stupid, like, the prime time sort of red zone game at 9:25, and then that got out of hand very quickly, and I was just like, yeah, I'm going to bed. But yeah, I was sitting in second when I went to bed, and I managed to drop right out of the cash by the end of it. So that having Saquon Barkley will do that too. He, when Daniel Jones went down, that was the end of that, I think.
Yeah, I had Barkley in there as well. Partly because I thought, well, I started with Jacobs, and I think I ended up keeping Jacobs, but I also had Barkley. And part of that was probably some recency bias that the week before he'd had something like 55% of the Giants offense or something like that.
Yeah.
But a good week for the Fantasy Sanctuary guys. Because I think they finished 1-2. Now the lineup that we're going to review is actually Tom's lineup, because Rich was... Though in Fantasy Game Day, you both, 1 and 2, get the same amount cash-wise. One is the bride and one is the groom. So, you know, Rich finished second officially. He did get the same amount in cash. But Tom is the one that came out on top. So this is actually Tom's lineup. I was absolutely astounded that there was no Ravens in this lineup, because I know that you love your Ravens. So I had to get that in there. We do have a little thing on these lineups every week. But this, a little bit contrasting to the previous week's lineup, which, if nothing more, shows that there's different ways to win in this format as there is in any DFS.
Oh, yeah, we had a little comment last week, didn't we? So sorry to... I will say sorry to Kevin if you thought we were a bit harsh, but I thought we were quite fair. Nick, I'll say it now that, you know, there's many ways to win, but I don't think the way that you built that lineup last week will win a lot of the time. That was all I meant by it. It wasn't a knock. And fair play to you for winning.
And I think, in fairness, I think what Kevin was saying was he's been doing well this year. I don't know who Kevin actually is. I did a little search, but couldn't find anyone that I was following. But he said, I think in jest, thanks for not killing my lineup too much. But I think the point we were trying to make was last week, that was a lineup of, there was a lot of individual players in that lineup that did have ceilings, and those ceilings were hit last week.
Yep.
But in a lot of weeks, you could do the same and that's not going to come off. Almost a little bit like if you were to do a bit of a bet builder, and this is a prime example because we've got a stack in here. We've got Dak Prescott, we've got CD Lamb, we've got Jake Ferguson. Nice Dallas stack there, probably against the grain as well, because I'm sure there'll be plenty that did the Philadelphia stack instead of the Dallas one. What I kind of mean by it is, you know, if you were doing a little bit of a bet builder and let's say you thought City were going to win and you thought, right, well, do you know what? City are going to win. So I'm going to say Haaland's going to score and I'm going to say Foden's going to get an assist. If City win, there's more chance of that probably happening, because to get to that outcome, City will have had to score. Some will have had to assist. The likelihood is that Haaland's going to score. And, you know, we know that Foden's a good provider. So I've used that as like a soccer analogy. If you put the same bet on, but you were doing multiple different scorers from different games, not only do you have to have those kind of outcomes go in favour to allow that to happen, but there's a lot that needs to happen across those games as well for those people to score. So this is where, you know, like a stack is correlated. That lineup last week didn't have a lot of correlation in it, which is what we said at the time, Jack.
Yep.
Whereas a bit more in this lineup this week from Tom. So a bit more of the kind of traditional lineup that we see with the Dallas stack there. The Rashad White play completely passed me by, to be honest. I saw a lot of steam.
You didn't read my value report then?
No, do you know? In fact, no, I did. I did read your value report. But I just didn't play. But do you know what? After the weekend, like, I read your value report and then I looked and I was like, do you know what? He has actually had more usage in recent weeks. My mind obviously a little bit too clouded there from where he was earlier in the season, over the first few weeks where he wasn't as productive and people were saying, do they kind of need to move on this early from Rashad White? Dotson, I like the opportunity there again, uptick in his usage. Nico Collins, feel like you could have picked anyone really from that Texans lineup. You could have had Tank Dell, you could have had Noah Brown.
Did you see the winning Millimaker lineup?
Yes.
They have all three of them in, didn't
they? Yeah, Stroud, Stroud, Dell, Noah Brown, and Schultz, the tight end.
Yeah, crazy.
But how many times have we talked about big stacks? And if it comes,
this is why I do it.
If it comes off, it is what it is. That's what happens. Especially if you're doing a big stack and you've got a bring back on the other side as well, which also comes in.
Yeah.
It's how you play it. It's how you play it.
The build is solid build by Tom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, expect anything less from him, but you know, he's got the big Dallas stack there. No bring back, which is unusual. I think I would have got to a bring back somewhere, but again, I'm not criticizing you, Tom. Please don't come at me. It's just how I build. You've got the mini game stack in there that I mentioned earlier of Rashad White and Nico Collins. So that's great. Jahan Dotson, I think, is a great one-off play. I mean, the Washington Commanders just throw the hell out of the ball now. That's all they do. I mean, Howell just has to get the ball out quick because they have no O-line or anything. So I think the Dotson plays fine. I like the Jacobs play because you go back to it now, new coach, the team are going to get a massive uplift, especially moving on from someone like Josh McDaniels. And it was always going to be Jacobs and Devontae Adams. You saw that from that team. So, yep. And to be fair, the Giants are just a run funnel anyway. So there's I don't mind the Jacobs pick. And yeah, Kamara, the chalky Kamara pick, everyone was on him. I think I captained Kamara last week.
Yeah,
and,
I captained him as well.
Yeah, so yeah, everyone was on Kamara. His poor performance didn't burn you because everyone was on him anyway. So, oh, it's a very good lineup.
Yeah, it was. Do you know what? I was having a little chat with Gurmeet on Twitter, because there is some enhancements that are due to go live anytime now with Fantasy Game Day, specifically on the leaderboard, which will be good enhancements. I've had a little sneak peek at them. Much better in terms of presentation, and some of the information that's on there as well will be really good, especially if you're tracking other lineups and who's got how many players left. But one of the interesting points that he made is we've seen in recent weeks more of a balance. So there was a period where every week it felt like if you didn't have McCaffrey in your captain spot, you just weren't going to be anywhere near the cash spaces, because there was a period where McCaffrey was just nuking every week. In recent weeks, it's been a lot more balanced, and you're actually seeing that with this lineup as well. You could have picked at least three from this lineup that could have been feasible captains, in CeeDee Lamb, Rashad White, Josh Jacobs. Any of those could have been your captain this week. Granted, if one of the, Josh Jacobs is captain, you might not have cashed as highly as you did, but you'd have still been up there with this lineup. It's not a massive difference in points. But it just goes to show that each week now, and this is what I like about this concept as well, because the captain spot scores the double points but doesn't cost any more, you are seeing that variance in captains. Everyone's not just on the same captain, which is sometimes what kind of drags showdown down for me a little bit, because you tend to find a lot of the same kind of players are captains, unless someone gets different. But yeah, I like where it's been going in recent weeks, game day, in terms of like you're seeing a lot of different captains. Yeah, good lineup.
Yeah, wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah. If you aren't currently signed up to Fantasy Game Day app, Jack, our promo code is
TDS4D, and that will get you a free entry after your initial deposit and first entry into one of the games.
There we go. We've already had a viewer take advantage of that. I know this because we've had the message on it. So nicely done for that.
That would have been me.
Well, we've had two of them. If it wasn't you, we've had two.
That would
two.
Have been me a couple of weeks ago.
We've had at least two, should I say. Lose probably more. David, been an absolute pleasure to have you on, even with your
internet.
Thanks for having
me on, lads.
Well, you've held up.
Where the hell are you? You're in a bunker or something.
I live in an annex at the end of someone's garden, so the internet can be a bit
ropey.
Yeah, depends on what's going on.
Get the AOL dial up. Yeah, it's just stood outside with the aerial up in the air. you've done well, in fairness, to stay on this long. I did think you would be off early, but it has been great having you on, mate. Whilst you have been on, Harry Kane has scored twice for Bayern at the end of that game. So let's all go off and see what that's done to our soccer lineup, shall we say. So you can find me on the X at Nick of Wigan. Jack, David, where can the listeners find you both?
So for me, it's at David_Bailey8. I'm not as active as these two, but yeah, if you want to add me and ask me any questions, feel free.
You can find me on the X at Jack Humphrey DFS. I'm quite active and normally annoying people. So yeah, if that's your kind of thing, then come and follow me.
Nice. We'll have Mark back next week. Another guest, no doubt. And we'll actually be back on the day that we should be, because Wigan aren't at home. So we will...
up the tits.
Next Tuesday, up the tits indeed. Have a good weekend.